staff in the meeting to take the conversations outside.
Okay. If all the staff that's not going to be participating could either contribute to the silence so that we can get started or move out the room, and the others. Welcome, Mr. Peterson. We'll give you a moment to set up, and we'll come back, and you can go over the review. We went at our last session. You were going to go further into the goals and performance pieces so that we could be a little bit more strategic in terms of addressing those. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, I think we're ready to get started, everybody. If you'll please cease your conversation or take it outside. I think Mr. Peterson is about ready.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Is this thing working? Great. It's a little bit of a segue from safety to what we're talking about here. It reminds me of when I was running Seattle Metro, we trained our bus drivers, and I don't think Jack Breck was here, but we brought them into a session, and we asked them how they felt about red lights. And, of course, for the next 10 minutes, everybody vented their animus about red lights because, obviously, it affects their ability to get on the schedule, et cetera. And then we asked them, well, what can you do about a red light? And then for the next 10 minutes, finally concluded that you can't do anything. And then we asked them, well, how long does a red light normally last? 30 seconds, 60 seconds, et cetera. And then we said, well, geez, what can you do with that time? And all of a sudden, we came up with all these great ideas about what you can do with 30 or 60 seconds. So we needed 30 or 60 seconds after the last session to get on a new wavelength. Okay, if you recall at the last meeting, there were a couple of clear directions from you. One was, hey, the list was too long. Can you consolidate and make it a little simpler to understand, not only for ourselves, but for the people we're going to be talking to over the next 3 months? And then the second was this idea of, you know, we need to think about what assets we have and try to leverage those as we're thinking through where we're going. So we've gone back, when I say we, the staff has gone back in and tried to do that. And again, this is a workshop, so every comment is a good one, and it's designed to stimulate discussion. So the stuff you're seeing here is designed to stimulate. It's not necessarily the final word. This is to get your conversation going. So if we could move forward to the next slide, talk about what we're going to try to achieve today. So we have been working, you have been working for over the summer and now through the fall on coming up with a mission or vision statement. We'd like to, hopefully, by the end of this session today, have one that at least is good enough to be able to take to our stakeholders over the next 3 or 4 months and then come back and finalize something. So I want to lower expectations in the sense that we don't have to finally subscribe to everything today, but it should be something that we're willing to take to our stakeholders to spur their discussion. Secondly, we're going to have Nat give a review of some recent information that you haven't seen before on the impact we have on the region, which I think you'll find fascinating, which gets to this leverage of our assets issue. And then finally, we're going to talk about roles, operator, convener, advocate, leader, what roles do we want to play going forward on these issues? So does that sound like a decent agenda? Something we can accomplish in an hour? Okay. And this is what staff has come up with, is a suggested mission and vision statement. And you've had the material, so I'm not going to read this. And I want to come back to this at the end of the meeting, but I just want to throw that up as something to consider. Because that's really what we want to come out with, is something that we can then take forward to the stakeholder groups. Next slide. And at this point, I want to introduce Nat and have him run through the next 3 or 4 slides and the results of the study that has recently been completed that talks about the impact that we have on the region, because I think it will inform our discussion going forward. Nat?
Right, thank you very much, Neil. And so this is work that we started about a year ago, and so I wanted you all to have it because it's relevant and also because of the impact, but it started because whether we're, you know, whether we're talking about Metro in the present or Metro in the future, the issue of cost is always coming up, and there has not been as much information prepared about what exactly we're doing for the region, and we wanted to have something on the other side of the ledger, and we did want to be able to quantitatively address the point that we're adding value in the region. So I'm just going to run through these things quickly. The result of the it was a very rigorous analysis. It was done by top economists at AECOM working together with Smart Growth America. And the first finding was that there's $212 billion of real estate value within a half mile of our stations in the region. And that's 20 – it's actually – I think we've done some refinements over the last couple of weeks. It's actually 28% of the land value in the compact area on 4% of the land. And I'll just stop just to digest those numbers for a second. And in addition, there's a huge amount of employment in the region within a half mile. It's 2 million jobs of in the region. 54% of the region's jobs are accessible by transit. There's another 300,000 within a mile. Can you go next? This is something that we previewed to you a couple of weeks ago, and this was
just one comment around that. In terms of the value and associated with transit, it might be useful to have a statistic that you could infer from that every dollar of investment in transit yields X dollar in investment. I mean, so that we can begin to use the data to suggest why the investment is important, because we're still in a position of saying which came first, the chicken or the egg, and we need to decide how we influence, drive, or respond to our environment.
It might help me if we could say per acre in the half-mile zone, the value is X. Outside, the value is Y, and you can say it's, you know,
exactly,
50 times more valuable if it's inside the half-mile zone.
I think, you know, it's a very analytically challenging exercise to attribute value to one thing in particular, is the quality of the development, the zoning, density. There are a huge number of things that you're referring to. I think we just say that we are a precondition to those things occurring, but there are also obviously a lot of other.
And there are many things that create the value,
right,
but it's the agglomeration of them around the stations allows them to all work together better.
Can I just ask one other question on that too, Matt? Is the 212 what's built and standing there now?
Correct.
So it's not what anybody's got planned. So
correct,
the fact that certain areas really haven't developed yet is part of where the opportunity lies.
Right. So we don't have, for example, an estimate of what it could be if all the station areas in the system were built out. That would be an interesting.
That might be something worth quantifying is what's that opportunity that's still laying there for the region.
And from a communications point of view, obviously saying this is what exists now, it is real. There's really no question about it. I mean, we used the assessed parcels in databases from all the jurisdictions, so I mean, it's based on that. Speculating about what it would be in the future does always add that sort of theoretical and, you know, element. And, of course, we're interested in showing that number is as big as possible. But if you're talking about what's there right now, it's, you know,
it's real.
You can't really argue. So another thing that we did, just to talk about what we do in the region, is this is about quality of life, and this is about preserving the region as a single economic region. This is a point that Jim Dinegar makes when he talks about the need for regional transportation planning and decision-making. Is if we're a unified region, we compete as a region. If we fragment, we are, you know, we're competing as sub-regions, and that makes all of us weaker. But I think everyone's aware of the share of people who come downtown to work who come by transit. That's 45%. What we did here, the interesting analytical thing we did was we turned off transit in the region, in the regional travel demand models. And we asked the question, what would we have to put back into the region in order to get the same level of transportation service quality on the roads? And the answer is it's about 1,000 lane miles of road. When you go this approach, you have another million trips per day. It's 200,000 parking spaces required downtown. That's 170 square blocks of five-story parking garages. We've got a little, you know, snazzy image that shows that overlaid on the downtown. It goes from Constitution up to R Street and probably 10 or 15 blocks east and west of the White House. So it changes the character of downtown. Move on to the next. Following on the point about transit unifying the economy and being something that supports the region economically, it also creates the kind of environment that that innovative workers want to come to. I think for our businesses to have a chance to grow, they're going to need access to the kinds of people who want to live in urban environments, and that those folks are looking for activity, they're looking for diversity, they're looking for energy, and transit is a part of those things. Another really important part about this is also just the evacuation capacity, and it's another element of what we add, and we've shown in a number of cases in the past. We can evacuate 120,000 people per hour on Metro, and that served us in 9/11. It served us in snow emergencies as well. And finally, just in terms of contributing to livability, it's not just whether this is a road-oriented region or not. It's not just about real estate value. It's also about what this does for households, for their time savings. One of the questions we asked is, well, if you turned off transit in the region, well, what would that do to traffic, and what would that do to the time it took for people to get where they're going? And the answer is the time savings are worth about $700 million a year, which is a recurring benefit. I mean, again, theoretical because it's compared to, you know, counterfactual, but that's what that time benefit is. And in terms of the number of automobiles that we think people don't have to purchase and maintain, that generates household income to the tune of about $300 million a year. So in addition to the environmental benefits, we've talked in the past about the green benefits and our impacts in the region. We've quantified that. Obviously, we're helping the region with its conformity attainment. But we have been trying to emphasize the business case and fiscal aspects of this as well. Anyway, those are the results of this recent work, and we just wanted to put it out there because we don't just have metrics of our impact, about how many people we carry, how safely we carry them, but it's also we invest in transit in order to accomplish something in the region, and we dwell on that less frequently. So that's really just sort of the background backdrop to the rest of the conversation that Neil's going to take on.
Yeah, just a quick question. Is this the actual report, is that available to the public now?
We'll be making it available in blog postings and other formats, and we have not posted the report.
Right. And there are different audiences for this document.
Right.
I mean, there's technical folks, but, you know, for the folks
that we're trying to have a link to it, actually. There's a bunch of people I'd like to send it on to.
A simple version, too. as well as kind of the technical
executive summary.
Executive summary, or, you know.
All right, we'll be getting this out.
Alvin, if you have a question?
No, fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Okay, the next slide is just a refresher on what the major goals of Region Forward were, and the ones that we're focused on primarily are the accessibility ones, if you recall. And then moving to the next slide, this is the major thing that's happened since the last meeting. If you recall, we had a list that actually was even longer than this and said narrow it down. So we've done that. And try to pick three that we thought encapsulated the most important things we're doing. We're improving the mobility in the region. That's our existing service, plus trying to, even though our mode share is kind of small as a percentage of total trips in a given day, it's critical, as you just heard, to the region functioning. Secondly, throughout the Region Forward, it talks about the regional activity centers and the various ways that they need to be supported going forward. We'll get into this a little bit more. I mean, Mary mentioned last time that there's low-hanging fruit. So there's some regional activity center we already support that we could even do a better job with. And then there's obviously regional activity centers that we don't serve at this point in time and have to decide what role we're going to play on that. Then finally, ensure the financial sustainability for transit. I would argue after what we just heard that we're talking about the financial sustainability of the region. It's not just transit. The region. So those were three, and I think we ought to stop here and get some discussion. Do you like the way this was brought down to three? Are there modifications to it? Do you think it misses something? Does it capture what we're talking about going forward as sort of three major goals for the agency? Mort?
Yeah, I like that. Obviously, simple is better, but I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that from what Matt has just shown us, we are critical to all four of the Region Forward concepts. It's how effectively we provide the accessibility that then makes us a major contributor to the other two. But I think focusing on the accessibility is kind of our core business that we could do a better job at.
Yes, Alvin.
it's not really a question to answer, but it's just a thought that is something that I'm concerned about as we go throughout this process. And again, do we leverage or do we respond? And when I think in terms of supporting regional activity center development, there's all, for me, it's, we're supporting, but we're really aligning with it. And it's supporting it, and we are influencing it. It's influencing the strategic decisions that we make. So there's, for me, it's a lot bigger than the word support, just as something that resonates with me.
Well, that's a good point. So maybe we ought to talk about another word as we go through here. We're going to go into more detail on each of these three.
Neil, I've kind of been thinking about, I love our goal today of we're going to get a mission and a vision. I want to push a little bit to say, and perhaps we can get at least something that's close to three big goals that we might take out with the mission and vision, because I think it begins to help our conversation with our stakeholders a bit to have more than just mission and vision. Mission and vision can be kind of mom and apple pie, but then it's like, where are we going? Why is this even important? And I think these three are the beginning for me, but I want to echo Alvin. The middle one about regional activity center development isn't right yet. It's not capturing, I think. There needs to be something there, but I don't think it's quite stated the way that it needs to be in terms of what we're trying to do. But some connectivity to that notion. And really, I think Metro Forward is trying to move away from calling them regional activity centers and calling them complete communities. And so that's an interesting thing for us to kind of play with, too. Because I think transit is essential to achieving complete communities. And so it is the where do we have it now versus where should we put it in order to create, help, you know, put the base in for more complete communities. That's really what I think we're struggling with a little bit is where's our role there? The first two are the first one and the last one are clearer. That middle one is really where the game is, I think.
I want to agree with Mary because this to me is the goal that could drive the future for us. And I think it goes to what Alvin was saying about where we are in those outer areas. But, and I have to always go home when I think about this. I think I live in a community, and I think absent transit is incomplete, and that is it's the TOD without the T, and it has everything else that's needed. It has the mixed use development, it has the economic driver, it has the connectivity of people. But as good as it is, it's incomplete without the transit, and whether we call it what kind of transit, but transit really then finishes it for us. And I think those are the kind of things that, from our larger goal, helps us think about, then what do we do in order to get there for each of these communities? What kind of transit? What, where, and what we are going to do in those communities to kind of bring that completeness there? Because and I think we started our activity centers because people kind of, from years back, started driving that piece. They are activities, but they really are. And I think for many places, the way many of us live around this region, there are challenges of defining sense of community. And transit provides the opportunity to help get that sense of community along with all of the other activities that come about there. It becomes the connecting link for us. So I really think that wording is probably one that doesn't well define really what it means in community or makes it much, much broader in the sense of how people might interpret what we're trying to tell.
Yeah, just to continue to build on those thoughts, two things strike me. One is, and Matt, you mentioned it, In summarizing where we've been and where we're going, and summarizing that data, and And your point struck me when you said that the, you were highlighting all of those associated things with transit and saying we tend to talk about transit, but these are the other things that we want to be able to amplify and as we began to go forward. And I guess what really stands out for me is that I don't think our success in developing a strategy is selling transit. Transit is what we do, but what will have to be sold to our community and our constituencies is the other stuff. It's the selling of the role of transit in the life of this region. And that's what we've got to be able to do to connect. And it's all of those other things that we're discussing here. And it particularly, both Mary and Kathy struck something that I actually circled on one of the slides. And I think, to me, it has to do with education and coming to a common understanding of what we're trying to accomplish in terms of transit-oriented development. And the slide, I circled the slide, the one that talked about Metro makes possible a place that draws workers and jobs. And it said that he talked about the Generation Y millennials who increasingly prefer urban lifestyles with mass transit. Reality is you don't have an urban lifestyle without mass transit. And so when people are saying, I want an urban lifestyle and I want it with transit, it means that we don't really have a fundamental understanding that it doesn't exist without transit. That is the nature of an urban lifestyle. If you can't move, you have no lifestyle. Whatever way you choose to move, and I think that we have to begin to discuss the our constituency, at the same time we're trying to learn, we're also trying to get in an education process of leveling the dialogue so that we're all talking about the same thing. And we have to talk about more than just what we do as transit. We have to talk about how transit belongs at the core of lifestyle. That's where we have to begin to reshape the dialogue.
Well, as Mark knows, in New York City, the Regional Plan Association has just completed a study of the 10 major transit agencies in the country. And the purpose of the study is to show if that stopped happening, these urban centers would stop. I mean, just look at Irene in New York City when there was no transit. I mean, not only was there no transit, there were no stores open anywhere because nobody could get to work. So I think that's where you're headed with this. I mean, there's not only a positive economic development, but without it, we don't exist. I mean, we can't operate. Okay, should we start to drill down into these three? Muriel, did you want to add something? Okay, let's move to the first one. This slide has three things on it. One is the issue of role. Operator, convener, advocate, leader, all four, some, you know, how we want to deal with that. Then there's the issue of partnerships. We talked many times about that, about we can't operate without them. So who are they? What does that mean for us going forward? And then there's this issue of what assets do we have to leverage? So in this one, improving the mobility in the region, the reality is we're only serving X percent, what is it, 5-6%, Rich, of the region on a daily basis, but you heard what the numbers were on service and the peak core of workers coming downtown. So there's a lot more happening in transportation in the region than just what we're doing. But we are critical. And so the issue here is in terms of roles, what role do you want to play? Obviously, we have one role as operator. And to reemphasize something that we have to reemphasize at every single session, you all have said from the beginning that the number one goal is to fix it first and get to do what we do on a daily basis, get it right from a safety standpoint and from a customer experience standpoint. So that's in that operator role. Then you have the option of but that's operating what you do, not the other things. You're not running the roads, et cetera. Then you have the option of being a convener in terms of broadening this topic because you, in terms of leveraging assets, you are the one regional body that has authority to do things. So you have an opportunity to be a convener. Now, there are other people that can play that role too, but you're in a unique situation if you wanted to exercise that. And then you have a possibility of being an advocate for all the reasons that Alvin and others just said. And then you have the possibility of being a leader. And the place where that shows on this one so much is on this connector cop idea. Because the reality is that even in transit, we're only one. We're obviously the 800-pound gorilla, but there are, what are there, 14 rich other agencies that are providing transit service in the region, something like that? You know, RIDE, ART, et cetera. And there'll probably be more. The jurisdictions are getting more involved in providing service. So what is our role in making sure that that's a seamless experience from the customer's point of view, in terms of fares, transfers, customer information, and I mean, so we could be a leader in that. And our asset, the leverage on that, is we also have the most expertise. You see it every day when you're having your staff meetings on a variety of different topics. And so we could play that role. So I want to get a discussion going on role here on this general goal of improving mobility. Is there enough here to stimulate discussion, I guess, is what I'm asking. Any thoughts? Yes, sir. Michael.
A lot of people have observed over the last 30 or 40 years that the only two institutions that unite this region are the Redskins and Metro. And now we're the only one left. So I would argue that we ought to think about playing all of these roles. I think Metro is positioned in a way that no other institution in the region is to help play all of these roles.
It's a very telling point. I mean, we originally put these up as options, but the more you delve into it, maybe you move to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not one single role. It may be the right role in the right area, but we shouldn't preclude any of these because I think they're all important.
I think it's also important to recognize that we potentially play different roles by mode. Our role in rail is a direct service provider to the region. Our role in bus, which we barely mention at times in this strategic planning process, is entirely different as a convener, coordinator, facilitator of uniform systems, schedules, fare collection, and planning among 10 separate bus service providers. We tend to kind of lump them all together as a single role applicable to all of the services, and I would encourage separating out the roles that we might play between rail and bus.
And don't forget Metro Access, too. I mean, I think that's, we can't forget that piece.
One of the things that strikes me after listening to you this summer, the one word that's not on here is the word proactive, which is what you were just saying. In every one of these roles, you could be more proactive if you chose to.
Yeah, I was going to also mention that. I think traditionally we've been very passive. We've been basically the operator role. And I think what the board is basically saying today is that we're willing to be more proactive. We're willing to take different roles depending on the situation, but we're not going to limit ourselves to strictly a operator role in any discussion that comes out there. I think that's been a criticism of the agency in the past, and I think but I also think that's something that we need to be much more aggressive about. We need to defend our interests, and we need to be we need to kind of put forward our expertise. And we're also a board of jurisdictions, and we represent the various jurisdictions in this region, and that we do have
that one thing as an asset, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing you were talking about this summer, so, was that that proactive has to be a proactive partnership. Because we can't do anything without our partners. The most obvious case is our funding, but you know, a whole bunch of other stuff, whether it's the speed of a bus on a road or what have you. Artists.
Given the comments said, the word that continued to sort of gnaw at me, and the first one we say play limited role, I'm not sure why we would play a limited role given we know a lot about moving people. So I don't really like the idea of using limited in front of role.
Yeah.
The second thing I think that goes to the comment, previous comment made, the word that keeps coming up for me is catalyst. Mm. I mean, we can create and make things start to happen. We may not have complete control, but certainly in each of the roles, we could be a catalyst, and that gets to the activism of sort of, you know, starting something.
Yeah, I think the limited role really refers to the historic position of the agency. So I think that's the issue. So if we're moving beyond that, I think I just want to make sure that we're clear about that. This is something that the board and the staff has, you know, permission to engage in, depending on the situation, but it's just not a strict operator role in every situation.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I guess my challenge in all of this that I can't overcome is the first word in all of these statements. Basically, you put a verb out there that is limited, and then you've put a phrase after it that's a very important thing for the agency to do. And at any point in time, we could shift all these verbs around depending on what we're doing. And we can be a leader, we can be an advocate, we can be a convener. And so I guess my concern is we've compartmentalized a very important statement, and we've limited ourselves with one verb as to what we do, what role we play in that. And that's what I'm having a hard time overcoming. If you scrap the first word in all of those and just looked at the things we're doing, they're all important. And at any given time, we might have to lead. We might have to create a partnership to create some of these things. We might have to convene a meeting. And, yeah, by the way, we might operate service. And so I guess my challenge is trying to overcome the first word in all these statements, and I don't know necessarily that we need that.
Alan?
A couple of points, and I particularly agree with what Jeff is saying. In fact, I think all the comments that
have been shared are on point. I do want to draw a distinction, though, or ask if there is a distinction in one thing, and that is, as I look at the list, I mean, it's not so much a choice, but I feel we're compelled to do these things if we're going to effectively lead. You can't choose to do any one of them and not do the others. But the question, but that point really begs the question I want to ask, and that is, if I look at this as the compelling obligations of the board from a leadership perspective, these are the things we must do. But I don't know that those all necessarily, are we defining the role of the board and how the board operates in terms of its ethos, and where we have to recognize and consider all of these things in our governance capacity, or are we defining the role of Metro? And I don't think we need to distinguish that in terms of the dialogue right now, because we're talking about just this stuff, but are we talking about board governance and our obligations and the perspective that we need to look at this? Are we talking about defining the role of the system? And I'm not saying that I'm not trying to strike an arbitrary discussion here, but I just think we should just be clear about what we're talking about, and I think it needs to be part of the discussion on both fronts, but just to raise the question as a part of this dialogue.
Well, let me attempt to take a quick answer at that one, and you guys can correct me, but I think we're talking about the agency here.
Right.
And the board has a very important role to set the goals, to go out and talk to the stakeholders, to direct staff, but we're talking about the agency. Yes?
And it seems to me that if we as board say this is the strategic direction, Mr. Manager, you have to do these things, then we also have to acknowledge that may require different resources, different ways of thinking, different ways of partnering in order to make those moves. But it's really about, so we might have to step up differently as individuals, but it's really about the agency and how the agency settles itself in the region.
And I completely agree. Yeah. And as a board, I don't think we can effectively govern without taking every one of those dynamics into consideration in everything that we do. We must do that. And, but I do think that I agree with what Jeff is saying, that we've got, let's make sure that we don't, and with Artis is saying, let's don't limit ourselves, even in the operation of the system, in a way that puts handcuffs on the board or the general manager.
I just, as I look through this list, and I've been struggling with what all this means for the agency, I keep coming back to a couple of questions. What is the agency already good at from this list? You know, what have we done well as an authority? And then I come back to the question as a jurisdiction and what the other jurisdictions might say. What as a jurisdiction can I not accomplish on that list? Because that's the sweet spot for Metro. What will what can it do that the jurisdictions and other bodies can't do? And that, to me, is what the board and the agency should be focused on. And what has our history told us about what we do well or what we don't do well from that list? And maybe there are things that we're not doing where there is a gap. So frankly, you know, I go back to the questions of, for example, yes, a lot of the jurisdictions are taking on transit service. And I ask my DDOT folks this all the time, why? I mean, why are we doing that? And so there are a whole list of answers to that question that I think each of the jurisdictions face. But I think Metro is situated in a way that we can lead that discussion better about what's the most efficient way to deliver transit service for the region. So for me, I think those questions still have to be answered. What has Metro done best that the jurisdictions and the other boards can't do? And I want to continue to ask ourselves the question for the district, for example, what from this list can't we do that we could rely on our investment in Metro to accomplish?
Tom? Did you have something, Tom? Well, let's take some time, because that gets to the leverage point. What are the things, to respond to Muriel's point, I mean, what are the things that we do well? I mean, what are they? Yep.
It's perhaps not the answer to that question. It's helpful to define where we're at right now. This is an aspirational strategic vision forward. Mm-hmm. We're in a place that has evolved over several decades that has an implicit assumption that our job is to stick to our knitting when it comes to relationships around transit and mobility issues in this region. There are a lot of people who don't think that we actually have a legitimate role beyond our basic services. We don't even have a sense of confidence and aggressiveness about stuff like, we all acknowledge that a big chunk of the system's reliability depends on the traffic system, the traffic control systems. We know that signal synchronization, for instance, and priority bus lanes are an important part of our future going forward. We have, in effect, adopted a kind of informal rule that, well, that's, we know what the problems are, we know what we'd like, but it's not kind of our job because they push back so much at the jurisdictional level. The same thing about having what we all acknowledge is a miserable set of bus stops that are controlled completely by the jurisdictions and will occasionally say, Holly, these are really miserable bus stops. People get killed walking to them. They're in a swamp. They're in a drainage ditch. And oftentimes the answer is thanks for your input. Our role, as it has been defined, is much more limited than what we're talking about now. I think it's important to acknowledge where we're at to get a realistic framework for this going forward. It means being more proactive than we have been in the past. It means stepping on toes at departments and other regulatory and partner levels. It means a redefined relationship potentially with the TOC, with the JCC, with all of the other entities. But we're in a kind of bad place right now about even our fundamental network. We ought to acknowledge it.
Getting back to Muriel's question, I mean, just to throw out something for discussion, I mean, we are the only interjurisdictional service in the region. We are the only regional service. I keep using regional core services. Staff hates me when I say that because the core means something different within staff. But, I mean, we're providing the regional core rail system and the regional core express and regular bus service. You just heard, nobody in the region has made the investment we've made in transportation and the economic impacts from that. And then we have an unbelievable expertise in the 10,000 people we have here that no other agency can match. That's a starter. So you've got some assets to leverage here. And taking all Tom's points into account, you still have some assets.
Yeah. You know, when John McClain came and the other gentleman whose name I keep forgetting, one of the things that I took away from that was before you can really get people to engage with you on mission and vision, you have to build credibility. And I think we're on our way to doing that relative to safety, I think our conversation today, et cetera. But on some of these issues that Tom raises, which are, you know, they're nagging, they're hangnails, they're things we just kind of can't. Part of what we, at least from my perspective, the short amount of time I've been here, part of what we haven't done is kind of reframe the case. You know, it's not that people are unwilling in the jurisdictions. It's that we haven't helped them see that their small investment in fixing the bus stop and working with us on dedicated lane actually maximizes the investment they're already making. You know, for my jurisdiction, the $35 million bucks we put in every year, if we could take a tiny bit of our CIP and fix these other things, all of a sudden the return my region gets, my jurisdiction gets from that changes. And you do it in yours, and you do it over here, and all of a sudden the subsidy conversation begins to shift because more people are using the train and the revenue goes up. So I think that part of the challenge we have is to build actually some very specific arguments around what I called last time low-hanging fruit in order to say to people, come with us on this journey. Because, in fact, there are easy things that we can do. But I think Artis put her finger on it when she said catalyst. That is really what we're talking about. That is what these times call for, is for us to be catalyst of the conversation and driver toward these next best practices that are going to mean our region keeps thriving. And, I mean, I just think that's really what the game is here. And we need to step up to that. What I think is interesting is we're not walking away from any of those roles or any of those tasks. Nobody's saying, oh, don't go there. We're saying, yeah, and we got to get there, and we got to reframe that conversation.
I hear a lot of consensus. So should we move on to the next one and then come back to this? Okay, next one. So on this one, in terms of operator, the fact is, as Muriel said, the jurisdictions are taking the leadership really now in serving, whether we call them regional activity centers or complete communities, but serving those now as opposed to metro. So our operator role has changed there. Our operator role there going forward, and this is to stimulate discussion, is to respond to requests from the jurisdictions as opposed to, you know, we operate everything. So there's an issue there of what our operator role is going forward on serving these. Now, obviously, some of the regional activity centers we serve, but some we don't. So our role is different depending upon whether it's on a current service plan or not. convener. We obviously can talk about that, advocate and leader. And this sort of gets, I mean, it seems to me, sort of picking up on Mary's point last time, I mean, there's low-hanging fruit on regional activity centers that we're currently serving that are not developing. Prince George's County, some of those stations being the best example, probably, that obviously we could do things to help stimulate that even further, even over and above just the land that we happen to own around the stations. I mean, if we wanted to think creatively, so we could ask staff to come back to us with ideas on what we could do to further leverage that investment we've already made, but we're not taking advantage of. And then there's regional activity centers that are off our network. And, you know, so you all could say, for example, that we want to put our priority route now on serving the ones that we're already serving, but we want to be responsive to jurisdictions on the other ones in the short term, or something like that. So anyway, there's a variety of different roles you can play, and here the partnerships is also absolutely critical because the land use agency is the determiner on what happens around those stations, except for the small parcels that we happen to own. The asset to leverage here is obviously, as shown, the investment we make has a huge, and Mort knows this, but we've been doing quite a bit of work on this whole value capture concept in the industry. 100 years ago, transit started as a development, as an investment by developers, and that interest and allowed transit to get going. And then over the period of 100 years, we lost that connection between the investment in transit and the appreciation in property values. So we as an industry are not getting any economic return out of the value that we're creating that Matt just outlined. And we need to revisit that one and talk to our jurisdictions about that.
Yep. Just as we were talking before about transit becoming the catalyst for a complete community, I think we have to, from our viewpoint, also think about a complete region. That if you can't connect it together, you really are leaving these activity centers as isolated islands, and that's really not the highest and best use.
And I think by thinking of it regionally rather than jurisdictionally, we are able to do more for the region. That the ability to step back from your own jurisdiction and see the importance of, let's just say you live in a community and you want to ensure that there are jobs available wherever they are, then it's important to have those jobs in our region rather than someplace else. So the ability to use the communities that are in our jurisdictions, and most importantly those that are being served in those incomplete areas, as real drivers for not only the community quality but for the economic development, is a contribution to the larger region. Because when folks make decisions about, and if we wanted to do the economics part, when people make decisions about coming to this region, I think we should feel comfortable enough to say, if they come to the region, that's going to be good, whether they come to our community or not. And that's the real, I think, hard role to play sometimes in the regional part, but it is critical if we really want to think of us as a long-term and continuing a success of a region. It also gives us the economic balance or the financial balance that we have to deal with every day as an operator. The ability to have complete communities at all of these locations or at locations around our region makes efficient use of what we do every day.
Right.
So I think the value of our asset and how we leverage it and how we can play a partnership with the jurisdictions to help them develop that, I think is really
important. I think your point is so telling. I mean, you're in a unique spot for this because the more people that take the Metro out to Prince George's in the morning, the less demand there is on more subsidy coming from Arlington County. So there definitely is. That's huge.
I think that Catherine just hit on something that I see as a gap between the jurisdictions, the planning board, and everybody. The ability as a REIT for us to think regionally about where we attract jobs. because all of us, of course, have the incentive to want all the jobs. And I don't think any of the bodies effectively address how we can work together and compete as a region rather than compete as individual jurisdictions. And if we can figure that out here, that would be a big missing piece in our whole region.
I come back to, I think part of the struggle here is that this isn't named right properly. And so the roles underneath are not really the ones. So if you said using transit to maximize regional success, then these roles would be different. And I'm not sure that that's the right thing to call this either, but, you know, this title is limiting us in how we think about what our role is, I think.
The big title,
and I said that at the beginning, this big title, I don't think gets where we need to go, so.
Oh, okay, I had moved over.
Oh, where were you? You were at a complete region.
Communities or something. Okay, I don't know what it is, but it's something.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm saying using transit to maximize regional success or prosperity, if we want to pick up one of the region forward words, prosperity is actually a really good word to use. But if we can get to a different thing, I think then how we think about ourselves changes too.
Well, is there comfort here in getting away from regional activity centers and focusing on more of a complete communities, a complete region? Are people comfortable with that?
In a leadership role, is there a way we can feed that back in as part of our participation in the broader effort?
And I think it's very important, and actually Muriel brought this comment up at one of our last sessions as well, and that's to open the door to the interjurisdictional cooperation. And the way we framed it here, and Mary and Kathy have both said the same thing, it's we framed the dialogue as competitive as opposed to the leadership role that we need to play in supporting the development of the region as opposed to supporting development of centers in the region. And that is the difference that Mary perceptively described.
Yep. Great conversation. Can we move to the third? Okay. And this really, a lot of the comments you've made so far really apply to this one as well. And it really picks up on Nat's presentation. The reality is that you have made investments over time that have had a tremendous impact on the financial and economic growth of this region. You didn't even mention the impact on increasing property taxes on an annual basis. So, I mean, I can conceive of a situation where you'll be doing your stakeholder meetings. You can go out to Fairfax County, and I don't know if you've got the data broken down to this extent, but it would be great to say, you know, we've invested X amount in Fairfax County. Your property values have increased Y. That has produced X amount of annual property value income to you, and we're only asking for this. It sort of changes the framework for the discussion. And incidentally, Fairfax County, if we can improve the speed of our buses on your roads by 3 miles per hour, and we do that throughout the region, we'll save $40 million in our budget this year and ask you for less money. Whoa, that's a conversation. So that's what this is about. And obviously, long-term, many people feel that there should be a stable funding source. You're not going hat in hand, but still, that conversation we just talked about changes that dialogue.
It gives us the opportunity to go there. Yeah.
Alvin.
Part of the thing that I think we can add to this dialogue, too, and Mary touched on this as well, is we can help to inspire the notion that the region owns the system. And we talk about this in terms of what we're doing, but really the region owns the system. So it's really helping the region to understand that it can leverage an asset that it already has. It's not us convincing them that we, because them is we. I mean, the region owns the system, and it's reshaping its view of its asset and how it can use it and how it can deploy it and how its value is so underutilized and undertapped right now, and it's a collective ownership already. And we've said that in so many different ways so many times. But I think that's part of what I think is missing in the stream of dialogue, and that is the recognition and the, not implicit, but the explicit understanding that the region already owns this asset collectively.
So there's a caution in defining transit as us. Transit in this region is 10 separate bus authorities, 2 commuter rail lines, and maybe 2 or 3 light rail systems that are not us. Financial stability for this region includes financial stability for transit. That does not necessarily mean an exclusive finance focus on Metro.
Right.
And a regional financing mechanism that improves all of the moving parts, literally, of the region is an important thing to make sure everybody understands that we're not just talking about financing Metro.
Right.
We need to add transit and the region.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
I think that's very important because I think, as take your example of being able to go out to the region and talk about what we have as an asset, but that asset is only going to be as good for some participants as the local services, and that investing in us as a regional system also requires that we make the investments that are needed at other places, that we make the investments in the accessibility to the services, the efficient regional services that make the Metro trip a real a seamless piece, as we spoke of early, because I think you're right, Witten. And I think the ability to have that discussion, I think, expands our opportunity as a transit system, because while people judge their trip within Metro as a good Metro trip, it may not be a good transit ride, and so it does have a different impact, that and as well as the increased utilization of it. So I think you're right that we need to figure out how do we have a conversation with our partners about transit as a region is good, and transit of the region looks like what?
And that conversation really has to be a two-way conversation. Right. We should be listening in terms of what we do and how it can support the others as well. It's not just do it for our benefit. It's do it for everyone's benefit.
In the partnership line on this one, we really do need to add the local bus services, VRE, MARC, you know, some of the other players who are part of making the whole network work.
Well, let me get the feedback what I'm hearing here. I'm hearing that we need to make sure the region understands that they have invested in and own and have an asset that can be leveraged. We need to tell them about it. Secondly, I'm hearing that we've got 3 goals that we think are in line with the region forward that we'd like to discuss with you. And third, I'm hearing that we want to play a role that's a catalyst and a proactive partner with you. And it may mean operator in some cases. It may mean advocate in some cases. It may mean convener. And it may mean leader. Is that what I'm hearing for your talking points going forward?
I think you're almost hearing that those 4 titles aren't relevant.
The advocate, convener?
Yeah.
Just leave it at catalyst and proactive.
I think that's right. And I think you're hearing, I think we also heard on the last slide, that each one of those kind of set of, or the qualifier after the colon is important. And whether we call it operator, convener, advocate, whatever, that those activities, maybe with a little tweaking, matter hugely in getting to success. Is that fair?
And I would differ slightly in that I like the catalyst and the focus on that we're kind of the economic game changer for a lot of these discussions, but I think we have to lead. There has to be an area where Metro is at the forefront in the discussions, if we're to, we have to identify, you know, what value we can really add to that leadership role, or identify the gap in leadership, and really lead on some issues. That I would, I think that's where I would like to see us at the end of this visioning, to identify our strong points, whether now or what we aspire to be strong in, and really drive that home. I wanted to make another point on this slide about financial sustainability, because I kind of look to Metro, especially outside of our jurisdiction, to shore up our federal support. And I think Metro is uniquely situated to do that. But I also look to Metro because I see pressure internally, and the other jurisdictions might as well, to demonstrate that Metro is a good value for my taxpayers. So I think Metro has to continue to make its business case, and I think Metro needs to continue to operate more efficiently. And as we make those improvements, I think that, you know, we need, I see you as working hard from on the Capitol Hill level and doing a good job, and there's more pressure that we recognize, and I think we can push on both of those.
You just made a very good point. I mean, one of your unique assets is you have a unique partnership with the federal government. There's no other transit agency in the country that has federal government sitting on the board. So that's a tremendous asset.
Going back to Miro's first point, which I completely agree with, I see now, after you say it, leadership as a cap over all of these roles. And really part of our exercising of that is to figure out which tactical approach makes sense for us, makes sense for others, but always from the point of view of leadership in the direction that we'd like to see things go, and we know that others would like to see things go.
The only thing I would only add to that dialogue, and it kind of goes back to the point I was making earlier, that I think it is the board's obligation to embrace the notion and to fully understand that it has that role to craft a leadership position for this agency. And that's distinct from carving out that leadership role of the agency in terms of what it does and does best. And I think that it's important for us to distinguish between understanding our role as the governing board of this transit system, as the leader of this transit system, and to be a leader in how we manage in the region. And that's something that we need to focus on as a governance issue. I also think that, though, they're in crystallizing these issues, that's different from the standpoint of the agency mission. And I think we need to make sure that we're, as we draft this, articulate it, I do think it's two different dialogues that are clearly related, but it's a different animal for me, and maybe I'm just not grasping all that yet, but I see it as two different things, and that's what, and it's important to talk about this from both the board governance perspective and the strategic perspective, but it is different in terms of how we as a board operate and how the system catalyzes it, how the system presents itself to the region. For me, and I'll get to where everybody else is later. I'm okay with it, with where we are exactly, but I just see a difference in terms of how that moves forward.
So let me go over it again. I'm hearing that we have some assets that we need to be explicit about. We need to pick up on your point. Secondly, I'm hearing that we've got three goals with modifications in the language that we're fairly comfortable with. And third, I'm hearing that we want to play a catalytic, proactive partnership role going forward. And we have a whole bunch of activities that we'll list that will fall into that. Is that a fair summary of where we are at this point? And again, remember, now we're putting together a talking point thing to take two stakeholders to discuss. This isn't the final. I'm just trying to see if we have consensus.
We do, for me, and I'm going to over-talk. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Because when I go to talk to those folks, I don't want to say, here I am, I'm the leader. I want to say, here I am, here's what we do, and these are the things that we want to talk about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's why the distinguishing factor is there.
Well, as Tom mentioned earlier.
And that demonstrates our leadership.
You're not only coming with something to talk about, but you're also listening, and the effect of listening is the bigger part of the deal.
You know, Neil, I think that and we talked about this this summer, that there's also the tension that these three goals don't capture of our absolute commitment to moving the agency from where it was several years ago into what these mission and vision things sort of say. And I think when we go to our stakeholder partners, we have to have some way that we talk about that too. And I don't know, you know, when you think about the scope of sort of strategic planning, I don't know whether we need a goal that says, you know, from a strategy point of view, you know, we're dedicated to this, to making this the best. I mean, that's our mission and our vision. But I, you know, given where we've been, why are you giggling? Yeah. So I mean, so I'm because I want us to have the right conversation with the people we go visit.
I suggest what about putting in the talking points, sort of the way we open the meeting, that first and most important is our continuing to do our role in a safe and phenomenal customer experience job. So that's right out front.
I think we just have to have a way that we keep putting that there, even as we're focused on the future. Okay.
I mean, that's the first point about improving mobility. You have to do what you do well.
That satisfies me, because I wouldn't want us to think of this as trying to sell, but rather it's already sold. That is, that we're already moving in that direction, and here are the milestones of how we're moving.
But for some of these folks that we might go visit with, who've been paying no attention to the work we've been doing, we need to articulate that and crystallize it in a way that is helpful, I think.
Okay. Any other?
Did you have something?
Could you tell I wanted to say something?
Say that.
You knew I wanted to say something?
I had a feeling.
Did I have a look or something? I was supposed to be focusing on the list of assets. And one that's come up for me is, and the word I've used, I'm going back through my notes from the summer, I continue, every time we have this conversation, I write down profit.
Profit?
I think we're profits. I mean, we also bring that as an asset. And what I mean by that, like, and it's knowledge. So we have transit expertise, but we have other expertise that's an asset in terms of foretelling jurisdictions, power, whoever, what's coming. To me, we're like the truth tellers. We're the honesty brokers. I mean, we are guardian fiduciary, given the information we know. To me, we're compelled to inform those who make the decision and have the money to understand the implications of what we, if we don't do it. So that, I think that's an asset. I'm not saying we're uniquely in that position, but that's an important role given we are a unifier in the region.
Well, you've made a very good point. I mean, you uniquely have a regional perspective.
Yeah, regionalist, but also foretelling what's coming.
I thought when you said profit, you meant P-R-O-F-I-T.
No, no, not profit. No, I'm talking about John the Baptist.
All right, well, let's, if we can, give permission to move on to vision and mission. Okay. All right, just to refresh us, you know, we've got this pyramid that we talked about this summer, and obviously a mission and vision statement are the top of that, and then moving to the next one. This shows you what the existing mission is for Metro and what's being proposed by staff as a suggested change. The mission, if you can hear that slide on what the mission and the vision is.
The next one.
Next one? No.
Well, you want the combined one?
I want the,
it's in the very
what makes
end.
It, what makes a good, it's the one before this. This one. Oh, I see, it's in my notes, I'm sorry. Yeah, forgive me. So back, just to refresh our memory here on a mission statement, it's supposed to be simple, clear, and it's supposed to be basically what we do. It's not the aspirational statement, that's in the vision, so. You can go to the mission again. I'm sorry. My fault. So this, you know, we've looked at a whole bunch of other agencies. there's not much difference, frankly, in mission statements around the agencies because most of us do the same thing. So if you see there's not much difference between these, I mean, honestly.
Get rid of should.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one fairly small comment. I like the fact that it's more compact and understandable. I don't like the word should in there. Should implies that that the mission is aspirational. I think you have to say your mission is clear. Your vision is will you reach it?
Okay, point taken. Got it. Any other thoughts on this? I think the more difficult one is the vision statement. Are people comfortable with this, at least to go out to stakeholders?
Other than getting rid of should.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's eliminated. Okay, let's move to vision.
We put it in. I recognize. We put should in. Now we're saying take it out.
Something about region forward. Is it more a term of art that we're familiar with that if to others they won't get it? And the talking about quality of life and economic development would make more sense to our stakeholders?
Second back one. That actually, the staff was very deliberate in these words because
okay.
It plays on the region forward document that we're following. So I think the feeling was that this was right on.
Yeah. And it plays as well too with the Metro Forward tagline that we're using. It's subtle, but I think it ties us in the right place.
Okay.
Also, it tied into the regional activity center conversation that you have, which is to the, you know, it's a regional concept. It's not a regional activity center concept.
Before we get into the vision statement, I just want to refresh your memory on what we went over this summer on what makes a good vision statement. It's supposed to be broad, inspiring, and a reach, in short, visionary. It can be transformational. We will become, or it can be comparative, the best. It can be about the agency or about the service provided. It should contain a catchphrase that people can remember. It should speak to a broad audience, and it should be aspirational for our stakeholders, our writers, our jurisdictions. So then move on to the... This is open for discussion, obviously, on what that... our historical one has been... the best ride in the nation. And then the suggestion was to change that to be the nation's safest and best ride. But again, this is just to stimulate discussion, so have at it.
My question is, it's too heavy at this time.
Let me just say that when I read the proposed one, I feel flat.
You feel flat.
I feel flat. And the conversation we have been having about these three goals, you know, ranging from profits to whatever, this doesn't fit with the other conversation we've been having. So I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of necessary but not sufficient to where we should be.
Let me offer, we have a time element here that I think is important. I think the prior discussion seemingly fuels what we are looking for, but words are not there. And I think maybe it's a place that we can come back to, because I think it says what we want, but does it actually fulfilled in people's minds what it wants by simply those few words? And that's a piece that we need to think about.
You know, we kicked some different things around in the summer.
And maybe that needs to come.
You know, we talked about, you know, driving a vibrant region. I mean, you know, we had some others, although driving isn't necessarily the right word, but we had, I know, but we did kick a bunch of different ideas around. This just doesn't do it for me at all.
Well, one suggestion, Madam Chairman, is that I know we want to keep everything at a full board level, but perhaps on this issue we might want to put two or three people together from the board to help us wordsmith it. Does that make sense or not?
That would make a great deal of sense. I think it provides us an opportunity to kind of work on this, not only this piece, but the next ongoing step. And we can do with that.
And it might be helpful if people who have specific ideas would feed them into that group or into you as to various ways to capture this.
Okay.
Clearly what we had in 2002 was the most bureaucratic vision statement I've ever heard of. You don't want that.
I think.
And a run-on sentence on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think.
I think that's a better choice for us at this stage.
I think you need to compliment yourselves. You've made a lot of progress today. And the thing that's so impressive to me is the consensus. I mean, it's really simple. So I think you're in great shape, and we're really now getting very close to the point of having that one-page talking document to go out and talk to the stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adjourning the strategic planning, I have a motion that we go into executive session. I move that the board meet in executive session to discuss information technology, security, litigation, audit, and contractual matters consistent with Article 10, A2, A4, A5, A6 in the board's bylaws. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson.
Thanks.
Yes. Good job.